Chapter 40. The pawn shop felt seedy. They were the only customers. Elvira went straight to the desk. Nia didn't want to intrude, so started looking around. The stock was mainly jewellery, some coins, some phones. It was rather sad that things that had been so loved had been abandoned. Most customers would have been offered far less than the items were worth, but this was a place for desperate people. She was looking through a tray of rings when suddenly she spotted one that looked very familiar. It was behind a locked glass door, but the closer she looked, the more convinced she grew that she knew who had owned it. She took out her phone and photographed it. When Elvira had finished her transaction, she came over to Nia, grinning, her beautiful engagement ring sitting proudly on her finger. Nia congratulated her and then went to the counter and asked the man serving if she could have a look at one of the trays. She pointed out the ring. He unlocked the glass cabinet and handed it to her. Elvira had come to see what she was doing. "Fancy something for yourself?" she said, laughing. But she saw the ring in Nia's hand and frowned. "That looks just like the one Ruby had," she said quietly. "It's not just similar. It's the actual ring," said Nia. "I'm positive." She looked to the shop assistant. "Can you tell me when this was brought in?" she asked.
"Yeah, it was only a few days ago. Hang on, I'll have a look. It wasn't pawned, so if you want to buy it, we can negotiate a price."
He looked in an old-fashioned white notebook and told Nia that it had been brought in on Thursday. Nia's heart raced. What did they look like? Was it a man? Woman? Old? Young? She fired the questions.
"I can't remember much. Scruffy sort of person, I think, all wrapped up."
"Weren't you worried it was stolen?" The man stepped back and scowled.
"I don't ask too many questions, you know. People come here because they know I'm discreet."
"Was it a man or a woman? You must have noticed something. This is an expensive piece of jewellery."
"A man, I think. All wrapped up in a waterproof with the hood up and those weird mirror glasses so you can't see their eyes. And gloves. I remember this stink of perfume. It's the one my mum wears. Romantic or something. I'd know it because she piles it on. Anyway, I was thinking it was odd for a man to be wearing that kind of thing. Then I realised the scent wasn't coming off the bloke. It was the box the ring was in. Look, what is this all about? Do you want to buy this or not?"
"I think the police have to be told about this. I'm sure this ring belonged to the woman who died over in Yarmouth last month. Her body was found on the beach there."
"Bloody hell, how would you know that?"
"Because I was one of the last people to speak to her, and I'm sure I saw this on her finger."
The man looked scared now. "Look, I don't want trouble. I'll phone the police. I don't get involved with messy stuff like this."
"Good, I think you should. Do you have CCTV?"
"I don't think I should be discussing the security arrangements here, do you?" "I will talk to the police. I don't want stuff like that in here."
The man practically pushed them out of the shop and locked the door behind them. "Do you trust him?" Elvira asked. "I think we have to, but tomorrow I'll phone that police officer who came to see me and check it's been reported." They headed back to Yarmouth. Elvira was intrigued.
"That was weird, wasn't it? I suppose the person who went in could have found the ring on the beach and wanted to make some money."
"It's possible."
Elvira screwed her eyes up.
"You don't think that, do you? You think it was taken by the person who killed Ruby, but why on earth would they go to a shop with it?"
"The price tag was £400, so say he or she was given £200. Well, that's something. Depends how desperate that person was for money."
Elvira nodded, but then looked down at her hand and smiled.
"I need to go back. I want to show this to Ethan. Good luck with the ring. I hope the police can track down who took it in."
After Elvira had left, Nia went home. She took out her phone and looked again at the photo she'd taken and wondered if the police really would be able to tell who had taken the ring into the shop. It had been an incredibly risky thing to do. She began to scroll through the photos on her phone, returned to the one of Ruby and Ian's car accident. She was sure she was missing something here. She stared at the photo, made it larger, and then, a flash, she saw it. How had she missed that before? Finally, she could see what Ruby had been made to cover up. That was the lie that had played on her conscience. After she'd done this, with fresh determination, Nia prepared for the meeting at lunchtime. It was chancy. It was walking into the lion's enclosure, but it was time. Nia first had a good walk with Romeo, then nervously set off for White's. Everyone was sitting around a large table in the garden. They all looked up as she arrived, but then passed her. She wasn't sure who they were waiting for. She sat next to Jade, who gave her an anxious smile. No one was chatting. The atmosphere was tense. Finally, the police officer arrived. Pulling up a chair, he sat slightly apart, holding himself with an air of a man not planning on staying long.
"Thank you for coming. I wanted to give you an opportunity to ask any questions you may have."
"I guess what we all want to know is how this accident happened," said Ian.
"Of course, it must have been such a shock for you all. I can tell you that we found drugs on Hugo, mainly ketamine. We also believe he had been taking cocaine. I wonder if any of you can remember seeing him taking drugs at the party or after?"
No one answered.
"We took statements from everyone about the trip to Compton, and from them it's clear that although you were pretty spread out and it was very dark, he took himself off on his own. Is that still how you all remember it?"
The response was vague smiles and nods.
"I see. Well, if anyone remembers anything different, do get in touch. To return to your question," he said, looking at Ian. "Initial findings suggest Hugo had been taking drugs, stumbled or lost his footing and fell accidentally."
He looked around the group.
"Now, is there anything else?"
Silence greeted this, and so he stood up to go.
"Thank you, and anyone who has anything to add, please don't hesitate to contact me."
As he left, the group seemed to give a collective sigh of relief.
"At least that's over then," said Ian. "Of course it's terrible for a young man to lose his life like that, but it doesn't sound like the police are going to bother any of us again. I think we'd all agree we've been through quite enough."
He turned to Joe.
"I wonder, would it be okay for us to have a few drinks? I think we could all do with one."
Joe stood up.
"Of course, I'll go and bring over a few bottles and some glasses."
It was only then that Jade noticed Elvira's ring. "You got your ring back from the jewellers then?" Elvira shot a grin at Nia and held out her hand. Everyone was excited to see the ring again and started to chat about the wedding. It was such a change to see the group relaxed that Nia was hesitant about changing the mood, but she knew she had to say something. She slipped her phone out of her bag, found the photograph she'd taken in the pawn shop, and then held it out. "I think you should all know, I took this today in a shop in Newport." Jade grabbed the phone off her.
"That looks like Ruby's ring. Where did you see it?"
Nia told them about going into the pawn shop, omitting, for Elvira's sake, details of why she was there. "It was taken in last Thursday, sold to them. I told the man in the shop where I think the ring came from, and he's reporting it to the police."
"So I guess someone must have found it on the beach and decided to get some money for it," said Ian.
"Maybe," said Nia, "but what if it was taken in by a person who removed it from Ruby's finger on the beach? The person who killed her?"
"You've no proof at all of that. It's just speculation," said Ethan.
"No, but the person was wearing a strange outfit that sounded like they were trying to disguise themselves."
"Well, maybe they felt guilty for not handing it in," insisted Ethan.
"Possibly, but it will be interesting if the CCTV shows any more. Also, I've remembered something the man said. The box containing the ring had a very distinct perfume. Romantic, I think he said, but I'm not sure he got the name quite right." She heard a gasp from Lucy, but by the time she'd turned towards her, Lucy was staring impassively at the table.
"So is the ring still in the shop?" asked Jade.
"Yes, I had to leave it with him. I'll call the police tomorrow and check he's reported it." She looked around the table. An ugly silence followed her words. She waited for someone to scream at her, threaten her, but instead, Ian, in a steady voice, said,
"That is that, then. This matter is best left to the police."
Joe coughed and said,
"I'm afraid I'm going to have to close up now. I need to get back to Mum and Dad. It's all been a terrible shock for them. There is a lot to sort out. If anyone feels able to come and carry a few chairs, I'd be very grateful.
Ian looked up.
Of course, I can come over.
Slowly, others offered. It seemed to Nia they were glad of the opportunity to get away, but she guessed she wouldn't be welcome. She stood up, saying, I have a few plans this afternoon, so I'll catch up with you all another time. As Nia entered the main room of White's, it felt darker than before, and she saw a woman light the green candle on her table. Nia paused. She watched the flame flickering and saw the wax melting down the sides. It disturbed her, and she couldn't think why. She looked at an unlit candle on the table beside her. Cold, misshapen. She knew the answer. Nia picked up the candle, slipped it into her pocket. However, before she left, she heard Jade call her. Hold on, I'll walk down with you. She rushed over to Nia, and they left together. I can't face being with them all, she said quietly, and anyway, me and you need a catch-up. They went back to Nia's. They sat in the kitchen, and Nia placed a tin of biscuits down for them to share. So you found the ring. That's amazing, said Jade. I know, it was a stroke of luck, really. I just hope the police can work out who took it in. It has to be the killer, doesn't it? Good job you went with Elvira. She'd never have noticed it. How is she? Nia told Jade what she'd learned. Ruby was right about Hugo, wasn't she? I'm sorry he died the way he did, but he was rotten through and through. So I guess that lets Elvira and Ethan off the hook? It appears they were both in the pub when Ruby died. So that leaves Lucy, Ian, Richie and Joe. Jade sighed. Have you any new ideas on them? Actually, I do. Nia told her about what she'd realised at the pool and then what Richie had told her. Jade sat up, excited. Ian paid Richie to make up some stupid story just to stop the police questioning him. I can't believe it. What an idiot. Unless, of course, this is more serious, and he was on the beach killing Ruby. But why? We always come back to that. Ah, I finally think I have got to the bottom of what happened the night of Ruby and Ian's car accident. Nia pulled out her phone and found the photo. Can you see it? She asked. Jade shook her head. No, it all looks perfectly straightforward. That's what I thought, and then I looked more closely. Look at the car seat. Nia watched Jade's face change as the truth dawned on her. Oh my God. Nia nodded, and then from her pocket she produced the candle she'd taken from White's and placed it on the table. And that is another piece of the puzzle. The number of times I walked past this and I never saw it. Jade frowned, but Nia smiled, and slowly she explained everything she knew. By the time she'd finished, Jade was shaking her head in disbelief. I'm so shocked. You know, you could be right, but if you are near, then the killer will know you are getting closer now. You need to go to the police. You can't hold on to this any longer. I will go soon. I just need to be sure of one or two more things. Jade stood up. I have to go, but be careful now, won't you? Nia watched Jade leave, and then sat alone with Romeo snuggled up next to her. She felt as if she'd lit a touch paper. All she could do now was wait and see what happened. She was aware of a stillness out in the close, but not a peaceful quiet, rather one heavy with expectation. The house grew darker as dark rain clouds gathered, so Nia turned the lights on. She slumped onto the sofa with Romeo beside her, and before she knew it, she'd fallen fast asleep. When she woke, the rain had started as a steady drizzle. Well, that was a waste of 3 hours. When did I last sleep like that in the daytime? She said to Romeo. Still, you need your walk, don't you? Come on, let's wrap up. Nia made her way down the road and onto the beach, and to her surprise she saw Lucy was down there again. She was at the edge of the sea, tearing up paper, oblivious to anything around her.